Is the Free Presbyterian Church part of the wider Presbyterian family, sharing the DNA and many beliefs of Presbyterianism, or is it Presbyterian in name only, using the title as a flag of convenience? You might have thought those arguments were done and dusted about 60 years ago, but our television documentary about the history of Presbyterianism last Sunday night, which continues tonight on BBC Two at 9 o'clock, provoked some strident comments from those who believe Free Presbyterians are well beyond the Presbyterian pale. Let's talk about that now with the clerk of the Free Presbyterian Church, the Reverend Ian Brown. Ian, good morning to you.
Good morning, William.
And Lawrence Kirkpatrick, Professor of Church History at Union Theological College in Belfast. Lawrence, hi.
Good morning. And these comments
actually were made in social media by Stafford Carson, former Presbyterian moderator, who was questioning really whether Free Presbyterians share the DNA of Presbyterianism, whether they are truly Presbyterian because of their beliefs. Yes, they have a moderator. Yes, they have synods and structures a bit like Presbyterianism, or completely like Presbyterianism. But are they really Presbyterian? What do you think?
Well, I think you're quite right. They've got the government and many of the traits of Presbyterianism, but they differ. Most Presbyterians believe in this DNA in that they didn't really come out of the Presbyterian Church as such. I mean, it's well documented, the 1951 controversy, the mission in the vacant Crossgar, Lasara congregation. But a small number, 15 families, I think I looked up, left. That's a very small percentage. There were no leaders of the church left. There were no ministers. There never has been. So there's a continuity, but it's very tenuous.
And it's often described as a breakaway church from the Presbyterian Church, the Free Presbyterian Church. Is that, you're saying that's historically inaccurate?
I think certainly historically accurate is to say that a lot of dissident Presbyterians and disaffected Presbyterians have traditionally left and joined many fundamentalist groups. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Dissidents.
Absolutely. I'm not here to defend PCI in that sense, but they are different from the other groups, like the Reformed Presbyterians and Unsubscribe and the Evangelicals who came out of the Presbyterian Church, the small percentage.
Ian, what do you make of this argument that you may not share the DNA of Presbyterianism?
Yeah, I find it to be quite a weird and inaccurate claim. We are, I know, significantly smaller, but still the second largest Presbyterian denomination in Ireland. We're certainly Presbyterian in government. Multiple elders in our denomination were formerly elders in the Presbyterian Church. So when they came to us, we recognised their ordination. So if they were elected to serve as elders in our churches, we didn't reordain them, simply licensed them to the office of eldership. But if, and reference was made there, going back to the early years, 1951 on, when the Free Presbyterian Church was formed, we had congregations not only in Crossgar, but in Cabra, Risharkin, Ravenhill. And if we take the example of Ravenhill, it was largely out of the Ravenhill Presbyterian Church. 70 families left that church at that time. That's significant. The entire eldership but one left it, went over to Free Presbyterianism. The whole of the church committee, almost the entire Sunday school staff, withdrew. So this was formed as a result of elders and people leaving their local Presbyterian churches. If that isn't a specific Presbyterian DNA, I don't know where we'd go and search for it.
There are certainly people, Lawrence, who've come from one to the other, but that can't be the definition of Presbyterianism either. I mean, people can leave the Presbyterian Church and form a Baptist church. That, the mere fact that they were in the Presbyterian Church doesn't make the church they go to Presbyterian. What is the definition?
Absolutely. Well, it's got to do with our government. It's all these things that you've mentioned, and it's going
just
back
just because the Free Presbyterian Church certainly has that.
They have that, and I've acknowledged that. That's what I'm saying, but they're not a breakaway in the sense that the other historical Presbyterian splinter groups are. I mean, the PCI is still this
yes,
large.
Yes, but Stafford Carson wasn't saying that they're not a breakaway. That wasn't his point. They're not a breakaway from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. He's saying they're not Presbyterian.
Well, there's things that
there are lots of Presbyterian
things
denominations.
That happen.
Why isn't
there's
that
things
a
that have happened. I haven't heard what Stafford said. I'm not in the social network, I'm glad to say.
We did ask him to come on the programme, but he was unavailable.
There are things like we would never have had a moderator virtually permanent for 50 years. That wouldn't happen in PCI.
John Calvin was fairly permanent, wasn't he, in Geneva at the start?
He was the big dominant figure, that's for sure, but it's not the same sort of system. We don't have hang-ups about the authorised version of the Bible, for example, things like that. you know, we wouldn't allow our ministers to be politicians full-time at the same time. You know, our view of ministry is higher than that. So there are a number
policy differences.
There are a number of issues the way church is done, the way we
what
do
about
church.
Baptism and covenant theology?
Well,
sometimes
infant baptism is the norm. That's the only baptism we do, unless a person becomes a Christian as an adult.
Whereas in the Free Presbyterian
Church. And I think in the
Free
Church, it's optional.
Well, let's ask Ian about that. Is it optional, Ian, infant baptism?
It is optional. And if people go down the line of, okay, we're not covenant theologians, actually we are. We are certainly not dispensationalists. That's the other way of carving
Let's
up
not
scripture.
Use too many technical terms. Mm. Give us an explanation very briefly, Ian, of what you mean by covenant theology.
Well, it means that we look upon the covenant of redemption made among the persons of the Trinity to choose, atone for, save a select group of individuals onto salvation, eternal life. That is what we preach. In terms of baptism, that's the issue that's brought up. A very poor example to choose, I reckon, because Irish Presbyterianism, in my understanding, has a major problem right here. Now, I can check onto, as I have done, their official website. They say, when believing parents have their children baptized, they are publicly declaring they are committed Christians. What is required of parents is a credible profession of faith. Now, personally, and I've spoken to many who have left the Presbyterian Church, and many who are still within the PCI. And many of the parents within the Irish Presbyterian Church have never claimed that they have a credible profession of faith in Christ, but that hasn't been a bar in many circumstances, just been a kind of family tradition. Having children baptised. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, that's undoubtedly true, Lawrence, isn't it?
Well, that is true, but this is getting maybe into where the real crux of the matter is. William, the Presbyterian Church is a broad church. Massive numbers, and more in the line maybe of the reformers who are magisterial reformers trying to bring the whole community along. No child has been baptised within PCI, I reckon, without a parent making a public profession of faith. And that is all that is accepted. And this is an issue of trying to get a pure church.
If they want to be sincere or insincere, well, it's a matter for themselves, you're saying, really?
Yes, well.
I'm interested in why this is an issue. And I wish Stafford Carson would join us on the radio this morning, actually, but he's turned us down a couple of times. And if he wants, of course, we'll take his call. We're quite happy to talk to him, a former Presbyterian moderator who's making these points. And let's hear it out there, because I wonder why this point is being made. It seems to me that you can make an argument that the Free Presbyterian Church is within the classic Presbyterian family tradition, in that it's got the government and structure, the polity, as it's called, of Presbyterianism. Yes, it may differ on a few theological emphases, but then all Presbyterian churches around the world have their own theological emphases. For goodness sake, there are some Presbyterian churches that are pro-life, others that are pro-choice, some who are day-gain ministers, some who don't. I mean, there are lots of diversity out there. So why shouldn't they be considered a Presbyterian church, even with their emphases? And I wonder if it's to do with the last 50 years of politics in Northern Ireland. Do you think that Irish Presbyterians are a little embarrassed by the same word, Presbyterian, being used by Ian Paisley and by the people who followed him in the Free Presbyterian Church?
I think there's two things I could say, William. I think, again, it's back to this. Free Presbyterians come across to me, anyway, as, in my experience of them, trying to go for this purity of the church. And the purity of the church is all important. And PCI, I mean, I've heard pretty derogatory language used against PCI from Free Presbyterians. And surely that is the second thing. Yeah, dead Irish, apostate Presbyterian church, etc., etc., etc. All the usual things and on the placards, all the rest of it. Road to Rome hasn't happened. Don't think it will. But I think a lot of genuine Christians in the PCI church are not well pleased, shall we say, to be called names by so-called other Christians. It just, you know, it's not very Christian, is it?
And you can't really argue, Ian, with someone challenging your term Presbyterian when you're calling their church apostate over the years.
Steve Bruce, I find it very interesting to read. Now, he's an independent authority, of course, and in his sociology study, God Save Ulster, he sees the Free Presbyterian Church in the line of historic Presbyterianism. In fact, what he said was he considers the Free Presbyterian Church to be what the Presbyterian Church was some decades ago. And the fact of the matter is, disputed though we may, the Presbyterian Church has left many of its traditional moorings, particularly in its articulation of the gospel across the board. Now, Bruce went on to say, yes, and advanced the idea that the Presbyterian Church in Ireland that was quickly heading in the direction of liberalism back in the 50s, 60s as well, never mind back in the 1820s and 30s when Henry Coote came on the scene, but in the 50s and 60s, they backed off somewhat from that liberal stance, Bruce argued, due to Free Presbyterian influence. So Presbyterianism is very much part of our DNA.
So you're keeping the Irish Presbyterians honest, really?
Well, yeah.
That's what you're saying.
I think in our denomination, we have actually a purer strain.
You are the purer Presbyterian.
Much of what remains within mainline Presbyterianism today. Yeah?
Do you think Lawrence's church is apostate?
I'm not saying that all of it is, because I know some of the born-again ministers that are in the church that preach the gospel. I know many who don't. We insist on a totally born-again ministry, a born-again communicant membership. Those would be distinctives that we hold that I don't believe the Presbyterian Church holds. In that sense, it is on the slide.
That's a very political answer, Ian. Do you consider his church apostate?
I'm not saying that the whole of the church is apostate. What I'm saying is it has departed in many significant sections from the truth. And they have to go back to 1953 when they elected a moderator, J.E. Davey, who was a proponent of heresy. Now, that heresy has never been walked away from, disavowed by Presbyterianism, and it's high time it was.
Well, he was tried for heresy, but he was acquitted.
He was, and acquitted even though he denied the doctrine of the imputation of our sin to Christ and his righteousness to us.
Yeah.
He denied the impeccable character of Jesus Christ. He denied the infallibility of the Bible.
Yep.
In fact, when I was growing up in Lisburn, and I'll not mention any names in this one, but back in the 1980s, a local Presbyterian minister called Christ the ultimate clown on the Thought for the Day programme. And he said, Jesus is the ultimate clown who suffers our tragedies for us on the cross and makes us laugh at them. And, I mean, those are tragic statements, and how they, again, were not protested against within Irish Presbyterianism, I don't know. You can't allow statements like that to go out and not contest them.
Lawrence, what's the chance of a reconciliation here between these two denominations?
Well, I'll not in any way defend some appalling examples of heresy or apostasy that has been, you know, publicly stated. But I do stand over the PCI as a broad church, and there are many, many, many sincere Christians within it, in which I count myself. And it is very sad to hear other Christians. My experience of Free Presbyterians is standing with placards outside my church.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I have shared a service in the Martyrs Memorial with Ian Paisley and was accepted. And he found him a very warm and a very human person. And he accepted me as a Christian, and there was no problem. This is a Jekyll and Hyde.
Just two Presbyterian ministers together.
Exactly.
With the same DNA.
Well, you're pushing me in that one now. I think the other side of it is, and I would encourage a Free Presbyterian to come a little bit, you know, further forward. This stuck with the Authorised Version things, an example, and using the language of the 16th century. Everything has moved on a little, and can we not express the eternal truths in modern language in a way that try to communicate to modern people?
Thank you very much, Professor Lawrence Kirkpatrick, and thanks also to the Reverend Ian Brown from the Free Presbyterian Church. And that documentary, which prompted some of those discussions and debates and independent people, continues tonight on BBC Two at 9 p.m. It's our big history of Ulster Presbyterianism, and in tonight's programme we're exploring the 1798 rebellion and the revolution in the United States and the Presbyterians who were part of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, and how Presbyterianism has travelled with a kind of rebellion to various other places in the world. So a very big political look at Presbyterianism tonight. BBC Two, 9 o'clock, an independent people. I'm sure I'll probably mention that again before the end of the programme. Thanks to you all.